it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
In this really, I think, dangerous and freedom-crushing fallacy that words that might upset someone are akin to violence. And I think that has helped, unfortunately, create a permission structure for actual violence in response to speech, which is anathema to the American project and anathema to free speech itself. And that has been at least somewhat embraced by a lot of administrations who have cowered in fear or worse. And Charlie was one of the people trying to push back against it by going there and saying, no, we're going to have these conversations. Here's a microphone. Let's debate. And he was killed. He was murdered in the process of doing exactly that on a campus of all places. And
Guy Benson, Fox News contributor, of course, they're talking about the death of Charlie Kirk. And, you know, I think we need to actually have a real discussion about this thought that words are violence. That's been a big movement in the last decade and a half, maybe a little bit more, where, you know, I would assume, well, statistically, I understand that the majority of this audience is older than I am at 41 years old. But I grew up in the 80s and the 90s with the understanding that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Names will never hurt me, whatever you said when you were a kid. And the reason why you have a little rhyme like that is because you used it as a way to educate kids to say, you know, if someone calls you a name, you can get past that. You're not hurt by that. There is a boomer and a greatest generation way of raising kids that, you know, wants us to be tough, wants us to be resilient, doesn't really spend a lot of time really tapping into the emotional state of a child, of likely themselves. It's just not really the way that people outwardly express themselves. And I have to say, as somebody who is a millennial, a very old millennial, that there's a healthiness to taking a minute to think about how you feel about something. There's nothing wrong with assessing any particular situation that you're facing. That's challenging, that's exciting, to be able to live and express an emotion and to own it. That is an important thing. But the pendulum swung so far past acknowledging that we do have emotions about things, all the way into it should be the driver and the decider of every single thing that we do. You can't have a society where words cause people to commit such violence. You can't. You don't have a civil society in that type of environment. And, you know, I think about the impeachment of Donald Trump the second time around when they tried to impeach him over January 6th. He had already lost the election. They were impeaching him anyway. They were trying very hard to make sure that he could never be president again. And they were accusing him of using all of this inflammatory language, which he did. I mean, he did, but everybody does. It wasn't particular to Donald Trump. They tried to make the case that it was. And the defense for Donald Trump, I remember, ran an 18-minute video of leftists out there saying things like, you know, the Maxine Waters, you get up in their face at a gasoline station and you go up to him in a restaurant and all this stuff. Like, this is certainly language that exists on both sides of the aisle, but I don't see right conservative people being the voice, the political voice that's saying, you know, take up arms and go to war and literally doing it. I see justification of violence and physical reaction to political disagreements, and it tends to come from the left. We had a caller earlier today that was talking about, I think it was Michael, who was saying that we need to address the rhetoric and the media, the propaganda. You know, I'm all for that. I don't want either side to do it, but I feel like one side's not really doing it. And I don't want them to start. I don't want them to engage. But the repetitive nature of violent rhetoric, I mean, here's something that you hear people talk about Nazis, call Trump Hitler, calling people fascists. Like, the people who are yelling about fascism actually are advocating for fascism. They just don't understand what fascism means. It's an F word that they love and they throw it out there like crazy, and they don't understand what it means. There is a party that exists for free speech, the engagement of ideas, discussion, disagreement. And there's a party that is doing everything they can to shut it up. And, you know, yes to the absolute most extreme way possible, a bullet in the neck of Charlie Kirk was the way they shut one of the titans of the conservative movement, shut him up. But I think that I'm actually kind of amazed. I don't know. It's like something that I'm aware of and cognizant of before this event, but now I'm keenly aware of it. They just made Charlie Kirk a permanent titan in conservative thoughts, policies, and ideas. And you don't have to go out and read a speech that he gave. You don't have to go to a memorial to hear a tour guide say, this is what Charlie Kirk stands for. He is everywhere. Charlie Kirk is everywhere. And it is amazing to me, a true testament to who Charlie Kirk was as a human being, not as a conservative, not as a Republican, who Charlie Kirk was as a man. That if you search up Charlie Kirk right now, I've yet to find something that he did or said that he should be ashamed of. It doesn't really exist. I've seen people have sent me things that they've been sent that Charlie Kirk said this and Charlie Kirk said that. You know, people are quoting Charlie Kirk for saying absolutely ridiculous, heinous things. And the truth of the matter is, did Charlie Kirk say those things? He vocalized them, but he was quoting somebody else and debating the fact that what the other person was saying was absolutely heinous. There's no intellect in that. If Donald Trump quotes somebody for saying something that is absolutely ridiculous and then debates that part, and there are people out there who are utilizing the quote that he was calling out for being terrible, there's so much disinformation that exists, they had to shut him up. But we know that the left has tried to shut you up when they had the reins of power in the government. We know what the Joe Biden administration did to social media to eliminate conservative ideas from being able to exist, either making you take it down, shutting down your channel, blocking you, kicking you off platforms, saying you couldn't talk about certain things. It's documented. It's not up for debate. It happened. Talk to Senator Eric Schmidt, then Attorney General for the state of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, about taking on at the Supreme Court level the Biden administration for the censorship specifically of conservatives. It goes further than that. The university system. You want to go into a college classroom and proudly be conservative? You better be prepared. It's not going to be easy for you. In fact, they make it so that the environment is so toxic for you that the best thing that can happen is that you don't come. That you don't show up. They don't want to talk to you. They want you to go away. They want you to disappear. They want, if you are in public, if you are on your social media, if you are in a position to weigh in, they want you so scared that you won't. So then it's like none of us exist. And if none of us exist, even the absolute most fringe people who want to associate themselves with the Democratic Party, they seem like they're the majority, the true squeaky wheel, getting the grease over and over and over and over again. I'm heartened by, and I've talked about this several times this week, but you can choose to dwell on the positive reactions in support of Charlie Kirk condemning the lunatic madman who took him out because he disagreed with him politically. You can choose to see so many positive reactions in support of Charlie Kirk. They're all over the place, and they're coming from, in many cases, unexpected accounts, unexpected personalities. And then, of course, you can dwell on the Stephen Kings of the world. You can turn on the MSNBCs of the world and watch them throw up in their mouth when they have to try to not say something hateful about Charlie Kirk. You can feed your mind with what you want your mind to dwell on. And I would encourage you to make those choices. You are in control. If it's in control of you, you're doing it wrong. And I found myself talked about this on Thursday, scrolling as if something was going to change with the next refresh of my feed. And I was thinking to myself, like, I have to stop doing this at some point. I can't stay up all night doing this. I have to put it down at some point. And when I realize that I'm having that internal conversation with myself, I realize I've lost control. I've lost control of what I feed my mind. We have to be in control. Charlie Kirk himself said that when things start to go crazy, turn everything off, read scripture, be with your family, be with the people you love, essentially touch grass, understand what's real and what is important. And there are a lot of people out there trying to capture your attention, trying to show you the worst of the situation, and that exists, and there's nothing wrong with knowing that it exists, but don't miss all of the positives, all of the people who are making statements that, I mean, I see a lot of athletes making statements saying, what are we doing, people? Why are we acting like this? Why are you people celebrating this? And they're not people who are saying, Charlie Kirk is my hero. They're saying, what is happening to our civilization? Do better. You got to love that. Charlie Kirk would love that. So when we ask ourselves, what next? We have to be a part of amplifying the positive things and isolating the negative. Don't feed the beast. Next question, ask us anything. When we come back, Ethan, the birthday boy, will come in here and enjoy a little bit of whatever you want to know. Throw in the YouTube live chat poll. We'll pick some of your questions as well to answer when we return. Don't go away.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
All right. We like to answer your questions, your burning questions that you have for us that you are always very, very excited to get answers to. This is really an important part of the show. Ron asks, did Ethan get a haircut?
No, I didn't. I did not. But,
not
you know, Ron, you're not the first person to ask that this week, so I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm not wearing a hat.
Yeah, we're used to wearing a hat.
In fact, last week, Mark Reardon said to me, he's like, I don't know how I feel about looking at you without wearing a hat, because he's just not used to it. I was like, oh, yikes, jeez.
I don't know how I feel about looking at you wearing a hat when you are wearing a hat, so you're just going to have to pick.
Why do you two always do this to me?
I don't think I've ever done that to you.
No, you haven't.
but I might talk to Mark Reardon and we might go in on making it a thing. A little handshake agreement behind closed doors. You good with that? If you had to choose always hat or never hat?
Ooh, good question. Always hat.
Brad?
I would go always hat as well.
Is there a reason?
My hairline is receding, Annie. That's why.
Oh, no. It's not, is it?
Yeah, it's starting to.
Well, you're 25 today.
Yeah, I know. I think some hair fell out this morning when I got out of bed, too.
Did it laugh at you?
Sure did.
It's mocking you and your pillows.
That was sick.
It's all downhill from here.
Why always hat, Brad?
Kind of the same reason as Ethan, but like, so I don't have to get up and do my hair every day. So
yes.
Just throw something
yes.
On.
Poor babies.
That's the reason.
I'm going to give Ethan a little bit of a break on that because you do have long flowy locks. How long does it take you to do your hair?
Me?
Brad, give me a break.
4 minutes maybe.
But that's 4 minutes that he could be sleeping.
Doing something else.
Sleeping.
I take a shower in the morning and I roll the windows down on the way to work and air dry my hair that way.
That's pretty awesome.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Because I got a lot of hair. And I try in my middle age to do less heat on my hair. So you blow dry your hair every day, flat iron your hair every day, curling iron your hair every day. Less heat.
Oh, is that that thing that you have over there every day?
What do I say?
Hot. And points at it.
Yeah.
And what do?
You always go in hard on it.
Hot. Yeah. Like I'm going to touch it.
All right. Next question. Which one do you guys want to go?
I've got one here. What are your thoughts on vow renewals?
What are your thoughts on vow
renewals?
Vow renewals.
I
would like to not renew Y as a vow. I think that's not correct.
Vow renewals. I don't understand them. I think that if you make your vow whenever you get married, you said when you got married, until death do us part. And you should mean that. And so whenever I see people doing vow renewals, my question is did you not mean it the first time?
That's your thought?
Yes.
Ethan?
I have a really good story regarding vow renewals that just happened.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
Did they not mean it the first time?
No, not that depressing. So I have a friend, his name's Aaron, and he's not married, single Pringle. He's a single Pringle and doesn't quite understand, you know, how vow renewals work. And he randomly asks me while we're on a group FaceTime with this group chat, my wife sitting next to me, "You guys gonna, you know, get vow renewals soon?"
Soon? You got married. You're married for like, what, 15 months now?
Yes. Yes. And I was like, vow renewals?
Gotta get them updated.
What are you talking about? He was like, what? I was like, you don't do that like every year. It's like, that's something you do like, you know, if you do it like after like a long anniversary, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. And he's like, well, I didn't know. I was just asking. He kind of got offended, but like it was like a, I'm sorry, I was just asking, like to create conversation.
Single Pringle, Aaron, vow renewals, I don't know. Like, I would never think of them as being a necessity by any means, but I can't imagine that they would ever be a negative thing. I would never look at a couple's like doing vow renewals and be like, oh, you've been having some trouble. Why do you think that?
That is pretty brutal.
That's terrible.
I'm going to have to out myself when I say this, but it always seems to be an effort in a failing marriage. I've yet to meet a couple that has done this that they're like, oh, hey, we're doing this as a celebration of something or other. It's always like, oh, hey, we need to refresh us and remind us why.
But does that mean it's a failing marriage if you need a good reminder?
I don't know. Like, there's encouragement that they're working on it and they're trying to make it work and they're having marriage troubles, but still.
Because here's how I see it. My parents have talked for a long time about, man, we would love if we ever, you know, for a 30-year anniversary, a 40-year anniversary, if we ever go to, you know, Hawaii or somewhere they haven't been before, like, we would love to do, like, a special, like, just a renewal of our vows.
Guys, I'm
like,
I'm sorry to hear they're having such trouble.
Yeah.
I know, it's not looking good. I'm kidding. But my parents
have
had...
Did you ever answer your dad's phone call?
Parents have... No, I didn't.
Call him back, Todd. We'll put you on the phone. You call the station.
You do not want that to happen.
Call the station, we'll put you on air.
He can do whatever he wants. I know my stuff.
I told him that this has become a thing on air the other day.
Yeah.
And he got so excited.
Good.
He was so excited.
He's the freaking AD. He can be the athletic director of the Andy Fry Show. He can oversee the golf.
The golfing! Yes! he's done it many times.
Do you think, were you in here for that conversation?
No, but I overheard the whole thing.
What'd you make of, since Ryan's not here and can't defend himself? He seemed like there was no win for him at all to play me in golf. Like, he couldn't just play me and beat me and be like, well, I beat you.
Correct. He felt like, regardless,
he loses.
It was a lose situation for him. Is that correct?
I guess so. I told him, I even said to him off the air, I'm like, why would you hem and haw about this? You'll kick my butt.
Here's my thought. Is golf a sport that, like,
a
really
sport?
Brings out the, like, the macho masculinity? Like, if you win, you're a better athlete than me, or are you just better at golf?
I don't know, Ryan. You're not here, so maybe it's just like your sensitive masculinity. I could be.
He played golf in high school, correct?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's where a lot of this came from. If he didn't play golf in high school, he probably wouldn't have cared. But it's probably because he has that background in it. If you, someone that hasn't golfed as long as him, came in and beat him,
I hadn't started golfing until I was 30.
Yeah.
And I golf 3 times a year.
That would probably, if he were to lose that, make him be like, feel less than.
Then he just needs to own however good he thinks he is right now.
Correct.
But
which will never happen.
I would play him. I don't want to play. I'm not going to make him play me in golf to prove something. Like, I would want him to want to do it. I thought he'd puff out his chest and be like, I'd kick your butt. And then he was like, not like that. He's super hem and haw.
This is because he's taking it too seriously.
All right. Well, I'm really sorry to hear about your parents and their vow renewal situation.
Yeah, we didn't really finish that.
No, go ahead. Real quick.
They have always said that that would be something very meaningful and special to them. But my parents have set a great example for what a healthy marriage looks like and how to love each other well, but also how to, you know, argue and how to disagree well too.
That's and, human.
Yeah. And have they fallen short of those vows? Yes, everyone falls short of those vows. And I have to imagine that farther into a marriage you get, is it that surprising to hear? Like, yeah, I would love to just recommit and just once again, like, it just affirm that this is the commitment that I made to you. I think it's a good reminder, if anything.
Yeah. I
disagree with Brad.
Don't think that it's a negative thing. It's not something that I would be running to go do. And I, at this point in my life, I'm not a sappy, romantic type of person. But I would never look at someone else and think that because of their intent to renew their vows, that implied anything other than they're still married and they're wanting to it's not a recommitment as if it wasn't happening, but I think just saying those words again and knowing where you've been and doing it again for some people might be really nice.
If you decide to do that, it's not the first thing you do in rebuilding a marriage, I have to imagine. There's other steps before
therapy?
Getting to that point. Yes, counseling, therapy, things like that. I feel like that is almost like the climax celebration of like, yes, we have gotten through some of the hard stuff and now we're looking towards the future and this is our commitment for the rest of our lives.
Next question. You got one?
Yes, I do have one. What's your favorite comfort food or meal?
Favorite comfort food or meal? I used to like ice cream, but I'm less so inclined now. Thank you. Tirzepatide. Popcorn? I don't know. That's kind of a stupid answer. But I eat a lot of Skinny Pop.
Ooh, Skinny Pop is pretty good.
Yeah, kettle corn.
Mm-hmm. Not a specific flavor, just popcorn in general?
The kettle corn kind.
Okay.
It's sweet and salty.
Bread?
Delish.
Favorite comfort food?
Yeah.
All of it.
The comforting ones. Yeah,
fighting his demons.
I gotta be careful. Comfort food was a big thing for me, and it made me a big thing. And so I'm very, very.
Is there anything you can't say no to? Wedding vows.
Chicken wings. I can't say no to chicken wings. Ooh. I love chicken wings.
You?
I wouldn't say I can't say no to them, but I do like them as well. That's not what you're
What's
asking.
What's your comfort food?
Yeah. I would say mac and cheese is a big one.
Homemade or Kraft or something specific?
Doesn't matter. I mean, homemade's always better.
Jared makes the best homemade mac and cheese, but he makes it so much that two of my daughters are like, can you make some Kraft macaroni and cheese? And I think he died inside.
Oh, no.
Woof.
Last night, my son goes, I want Dad's mac and cheese. I go, ask him. He'll be so happy. Just tell him that you really want that. And he did. And he's like, Dad, will you make your mac and cheese? I love it so much. And he's like, no.
What was the meal that he made for you the other day that you said
roast,
you
roast, mashed potatoes, peas, and gravy.
Yes, that one. Maybe the next time that he's mad, I can just kind of, hey, you know, throw in some mac and cheese.
Well, I'll just tell him that you're mad at him. See, you get yourself a roast.
And a roast. What a combo.
Jared's like, get out the crock pots. Gonna need to be making roasts for everybody.
Mac and cheese or mashed potatoes.
Savory.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. More of your questions on the Annie Fry Show when we come back. The YouTube live chat poll. Is this the turning point for the country. Yes for the better, yes for the worse, or no, nothing changes. Annie Fry YouTube channel, go vote. We'll be right back. Okay. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've got a YouTube live chat poll up. We want to know what you think about it. We want to know on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, is this the turning point for the country? Yes for the better, yes for the worse, or no, nothing changes. We want questions from you, or we want comments from you there on the Annie Fry YouTube live. Jim says nothing will change until Christ returns. Until then, we need to be praying for a revival, a new great awakening. Brad, what's your answer to this question today?
I feel like I'm an optimist. I think that, yes, things are going to change for the better. And I think when I say that, keep in mind that I'm saying that it's going to change for the better in spite of those that are doing the atrocious things. Whatever side you want to say on. I think that basically the adults in the room are going to take back control from the loudest people on the edges and on the fringes, and they're going to push them back to the fringes, and we are going to have a normal country again.
Mortimer comments, how do I respond to a friend, coworker who states or implies that Charlie Kirk was partly responsible for this horrific tragedy? I know I have less than zero tolerance for that right now. Advice needed. I think, Mortimer, that is advisable, it's commendable that you are acknowledging that you are in a state of mind where your zero tolerance for something like this might cause you to respond with a significant amount of emotion. And I think that's warranted. I think that that is completely natural. But I'll ask you guys both and get your thoughts, Ethan and Brad. What's the appropriate way to respond to people who are acting completely foolish, completely hateful? They can't pass up the opportunity. Like, if you have nothing nice to say, now is the time to say nothing at all. They can't help it. What's your advice to people who are listening right now who are encountering friends and coworkers and family members maybe who can't keep their mouth shut?
I think the first thing that I would say is, especially for things like this, it is so easy to get so angry that you need to be able to check yourself and make sure that everything that you are going to say is going to be articulated well, communicated well, and it's going to be in a way that's honest, but that is not hurting your side. Mm-hmm. That you're not building into their narrative for your side. And honestly, like as a believer, that you're loving them through honesty in that conversation as well.
There has to be compassion in the discussion, and if there isn't compassion, you can't have the discussion. It's not worth it, because if you're trying to meet hate with hate, it's just going to breed exponential hate.
That's why, because things are just so hot right now, like everyone's takes on this are elevated. I have to imagine that even the people on the other side, you're seeing all these social media posts, maybe that is their normal natural response, but also everything's elevated right now, so everyone's putting out even more emotional responses. Like, let it cool down. Mm-hmm. and maybe eventually, let's hope that even with these people you can actually have a conversation. But right now, because emotions or intention is so high, the odds of being able to do that well in this moment, I don't think are very high.
What do you think, Brad?
I think that if you don't have to respond to this person right away, the best thing to do is not to respond to them. You know, you have to, that, I get it, Mortimer, that makes me mad too. That irritates me. It cuts me pretty deep. And whenever you understand that about your emotions and that sort of thing, it's best not to make a comment whenever you're fired up or whenever you're upset, because it doesn't really ever lead to anything productive.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so if you can take a breath, step away from it, keep yourself out of the situation for a day or two or three or whatever it takes.
Or a month.
And then once you've calmed down and can have a productive conversation, then have that conversation. If that conversation isn't going to be productive, then it's best just not to have it.
So what do you think about these people who are particularly heinously posting videos of themselves and just laughing, you know, celebrating it? It's not so much... The posts that annoy me the most are the ones who are admonishing the people who are sad about this. The people who are inserting themselves into the conversation. They're not defending the person who did the shooting, but they are offended by people who are upset that the person got shot. So let's set those people aside. That's the most annoying post that I see right now, because it's the most passive aggressive hateful way to be. The people who are laughing, mocking, posting things that are just like, you read that and you're like, what is in your head? What is in your heart and your soul? Is it appropriate for the internet to be doing what it's doing right now and seeking those people out and they're getting fired? Is it appropriate for the pursuit of those people to lose their jobs?
I think that it is fair that there was accountability for your actions. And yeah, just off the cuff here, as without having too much time to really process that question, I think so. Yes, here in America, we are provided free speech.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are. But also, if you are hired by a institution, they also, to a certain extent, you represent like that company when you are putting yourself out there.
Yeah,
you know, and that company has the right to say we don't want to be affiliated with that. They're not saying you don't have the right.
Your legal right to say something doesn't mean that you have a consequence-free existence for saying it.
Exactly.
Especially if it reflects on your employer and they think so. What do you think, Brad? Should people be fired over their posts?
I think it depends on the position that the person holds. Some of the stuff that stuck out to me was, as I seen like anesthesiologists celebrating that. I've seen, you know, various doctors and nurses celebrating it. And that concerns me, because that person then is in a position where their job is to make sure that they take the best care of the individuals that they are. And I don't want to go in as a conservative to have some sort of operation or something like that and be like, well, is this person even going to do their job for me? Or do they think, well, he's a conservative, and if I screw up, oh, well, he's gone. Ha ha ha. You know, that worries me. If you are working at a barbecue restaurant or whatever like that, I have less concern like that, because there's less direct ramifications for what you do. And I didn't like it whenever the left went after the right and tried to cancel them. I don't know that I feel the same. I get it. This is aggravating. This is angry. I'm more of a let's show the whole world who these people are, but I'm not going to target you and say, hey, you can't have your job.
When you say you didn't like when
cancel
the
culture.
Left did it to the right, what was the equivalent? Was there anything that there, was to there this
was,
level?
There was nothing to this level. There was nothing to this level. I don't remember any people on the rights being canceled for celebrating anything.
The people who were canceled on the right were canceled because they had a different idea.
They had the different
idea. That's not the same thing as saying, like, that person died and I am so happy today that it happened. Sucks to be you, Charlie Kirk. That's the type of thing that people are out there creating little TikTok videos and stuff of, just laughing and celebrating. And, you know, I know people are putting, like, Charlie Kirk, LOL. It could be something as similar as that. I mean, to me, is there an FAFO situation here? Maybe. As far as losing your job because you're posting hateful content. But it, to me, it really is up to the employer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that pitchforks need to be sent. I also wonder, in my mind, we're going to take all of these people who are obviously mentally unwell and give them idle hands. I worry about that a little bit as well. There are some videos online of people who... There's specifically one, I think it's a man who just got fired and he is in mm-hmm. full-on crazy meltdown mode. And I'm like, I don't like that he said that his job was all he had. Or he has a website or something, and website is all he has left. And I'm like, I don't like a purposeless life that's paired with rage. That's scary to me. Next question.
Who was the worst VP pick? Was it Tim Walz or Kamala Harris?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to go ahead and say, oh man, I want to say Tim Walz, but man, it's honestly hard to differentiate.
Tim Walz didn't add anything to the ticket. They added Kamala Harris to the Biden ticket because Joe Biden said he wanted a woman of color. So he thought that was going to be an asset to the ticket. And listen, if somebody picks a white guy from Ohio, and Ohio is kind of a swing state, that can be a specific, you know, the person who gets added to the ticket in the VP slot is absolutely meant to expand votes. So I don't think there's anything wrong with looking to make your ticket look diverse, but to come out and say that the qualifications to be the vice president, you have to be a woman and a person of color, that eliminates so many people who are qualified because of things that are the genetic lottery. Mm. Tim Walz was also a DEI hire in the Democratic Party. They wanted a white masculine guy, and the best they could do was Tim Walz. That was pretty dumb. I don't know if it gets dumber than that.
So did you say, so your pick is Tim Walz?
I'm going to say Tim Walz as well.
I'm certain that Kamala Harris added some votes as a vice president that didn't have to talk very much. I'm sure that that was some sort of asset to a ticket. Tim Walz was absolutely bonkers dumb. Any other thoughts?
I think I was initially going to say Kamala Harris because she was just incredibly bad at the job, but we don't know how bad Tim Walz would have been at the job, except he had some, you know, I guess, experience governing, but you've convinced me. It is Tim Walz because he didn't add anything.
Who's the worst DEI hire? Ironically, it's Tim Walz. How bad do you have to be to be a bad DEI white male hire?
He might have driven people away from voting.
Yes, 100%, especially the white masculine men. The one group he was supposed to throw under the support. The white dudes are like, ooh, swing and a miss. Or as my kids would say, what an air ball.
As Ethan would say, woof.
Woof, exactly. Next question.
Would you rather be 12 inches tall or 12 feet tall?
12 feet.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't want someone to step on me. I don't want to be missed.
How many places could you not fit into because you're 12 feet tall, though?
How many places... You would have no impact on anything if you were 12 inches tall.
What would your impact be if you were 12 feet tall?
I could sell tickets for people to come see me.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
WNBA.
It's a dumb question for the record. I think the market value for 12 feet tall is significantly larger than 12 inches tall.
Yes.
You could sell tickets to come see a 12 inch tall person, but nobody would be able to hear your tiny little voice. You'd be going, hey, look down here. And everybody would be like, I hear something. Fix that squeaky
door.
There's
all kinds of 12-inch
tall. Why do you want to be 12 inches tall, Ethan?
Because I can fit in places. Genuinely.
You can, to a certain extent, live life. Insult my answer
you
to your
can,
dumb
to a
question?
Certain extent,
what do you think
live
this
your
is?
Life.
Your birthday?
You can't fit in a car.
You can't
sleep in a bed.
You get a bigger car.
You can't fit inside
like
of a house.
Robert Waldlow.
Good luck finding a 12-foot tall doorway without having a boatload of cash on you.
You just stoop down and go through normal doors.
Are you going to want to do that every single time you go through a door?
I don't want to be stepped on when I'm walking through a door. I don't want to not be able to reach the handle. Dude, what good's a door that you can't even open yourself?
Babies don't get like stepped on. They're not even 12 inches tall.
No, they get carried by people who are tall.
There you go.
Exactly. So
carry me.
Ethan wants to fit in places and be carried.
That's hold me.
The most Ryan Wiggins thing that you've ever said. You're looking to eliminate your independent mode of transportation. Fantastic. Right.
I'm 12 inches. I would be 12 inches tall.
Okay, Brad, break the tie.
I'm going 12 foot tall.
Dumb answer.
So much better. So much better. Who's going to mess with you when you're 12 foot tall? No one. What?
That 12 inch guy's going to be going,
yeah,
biting your ankles.
Eat 12 inch, you ain't going to reach my ankles.
How high are your ankles?
Well, if you're 12 foot tall,
I don't think they're...
I just feel like life would
be about mouth height.
Life would be a lot easier if you're 12 inches tall.
I think you're ridiculous.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're an elf. Happy birthday. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap it up on the other side of this break. The YouTube live chat poll will get those results. Is this the turning point for the country? Yes for the better, yes for the worse, or no, nothing changes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're grateful that you're here with us this afternoon. Our YouTube live chat poll for the day is this the turning point for the country? Yes for the better, yes for the worse, no, nothing changes. We're giving you the results in a little bit less than 5 minutes right now. So it's Ethan's birthday, which is exciting. It's like completely not a shocker that Ryan was like, I'm going to need to leave town. How do you feel about that?
Also another fact, you know, at this point, I've just come to expect the worst from Ryan Wiggins.
You know, his birthday's next week. That dude gets a strut in his step when it's his birthday. It's akin to a 9-year-old.
We should mess with him.
I have some plans.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's talk.
Okay. We shall. You said you got a text message?
I did. A buddy texted me. Name's Dylan, and he's been listening in.
Hi, Dylan.
Said 12 feet tall is the only answer.
Obviously.
And then in all caps, quotations, carry me, hold me, end quote, Ethan 2025.
Yeah, exactly. Dylan's a smart man.
Debatable. I love Dylan.
That's the type of argument that we will have passionately on the air, and then when we get off the break, Ethan will be like, 12 foot tall is totally the right way. But we didn't have that conversation.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Honestly,
son.
I think I made a pretty dang good argument for 12 inches.
Were you trying to convince yourself because 12 foot's the right answer?
It's the easy answer. How about that?
No, it's not.
Yes, it totally is the easy answer.
Why?
Because you both were like, 12 feet. Well, basically, your reason was 12 feet, so I don't have to be 12 inches. That was your reason.
I think your ability to have a relationship with other human beings at 12 feet tall is much more likely than if you were somebody's pet. Or, in your case, luggage. Is that an Ethan Hannaford you're carrying?
Carry me. Hold me.
Do you get a text message from me? Or from somebody right now? Did that happen yet?
No.
Okay.
I got nothing.
All right.
Am I supposed to be expecting something?
Your birthday gift.
Okay. I have nothing.
The real one. But we're going to have some fun next week. Okay. I promise.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Is this a turning point for the country? Yes for the better. Yes for the worse. No, nothing changes. Brad answered yes for the better. Ethan, your thoughts on this one?
With hope, I'm going to say yes for the better.
It certainly can be.
If
we were going, I don't really think that anything was ever going to change without some sort of major event. And like, would I trade this event for Charlie Kirk? Like, would I rather have Charlie Kirk today? 100%, obviously. What he was building, I don't think that it's stopped building. I think that the fact that Charlie Kirk's name is known by everybody now. Are people going to go online and go, well, what did Charlie Kirk say that was, what?
Thank you for the gift card.
Happy birthday.
That was so sweet of you.
You're welcome.
Did not have to do that.
Now admit it's 12 feet tall.
It's 12 feet tall.
Satisfied. That's called bribery, folks. I think that the amount of people who are going to Google Charlie Kirk and see what Charlie Kirk stand for, don't you think if you didn't really know who he was, and you looked him up and saw what he was doing, wouldn't you be like, what's the matter with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe like you listen to his points and you might be like, I understand what he's saying there, but I don't like agree with it. But is anybody going to look up Charlie Kirk and go, yeah, that guy got what he deserved? If they didn't know who he was and they were not in political play because they wanted to stay as far away from politics as they possibly could, who would Google Charlie Kirk right now and see all of what he was doing? I mean, I don't think that there is a way to prove Charlie Kirk right more than his own example on the internet that is going to show up. Like, it's what is the most impressive to me about this whole thing is that Charlie Kirk gets to speak for himself forever because of what he has put together. And the people, the curiosity of who he is, and is there a more articulate person in the conservative movement than Charlie Kirk was that was willing to engage people? The reach he has right now, I don't think he can measure it.
I think we owe him a thank you for his courage, for his willingness to fight for this generation. A huge thank you to Charlie Kirk and the sacrifice that his family has made.
Well, I'm looking right now at the YouTube live chat poll results. Do you have them up?
I do.
Go for it real quick.
308 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Is this the turning point for the country? 50% say yes for the better. 31% say no, nothing changes. 19% say yes for the worse.
All right. Thanks for being here. Mark Reed next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.